Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 178 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Trey Sanchez from Vaqueros Texas Barbecue in Dallas, Texas. He pops up 2 to 3 times a week, a very unique menu, the staples, but then a unique menu. And you'll see, first off, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see that he is an interesting fella. I've wanted to talk to him for a long time. I knew that he had a passion and he was funky, and you'll see in the background on the YouTube version, you'll see that he has like this Mayan painting behind him. And a lot of these people that are popping up, you might think, well, they've just decided to pop up or they've done something else. And then he's been in the barbecue business and the food business for a long time, but he's also been in something interesting, and I'll let him explain, the event business. And he puts on these elaborates, and he's been doing this with his father and with different people for a long time, but he puts on these events, and he still does these events, these catering events he'll do. But he does, like, I'll let you listen. It's really interesting. It's really unique. And it's something that if you're looking for that specifically or something along those lines, he'd be a great person to talk to and hire. There's big things coming up for him too in the future. We touch on them, but just pay attention to his social media. I'll put all his information in the show notes. But thank you again, Trey, for taking the time. They could really enjoy this. And I am more than lucky to have two sponsors on board for the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show. They are AJ's Custom Cookers out of Saginaw, Texas, and Treaty Oak Distilling out of Dripping Springs, Texas. AJ's Custom Cookers at ajscustomcookers.com. He does, as the name says, custom. He does custom pits. Every type of pit. Go to his website at ajscustomcookers.com. Like I said, you could see all the cool stuff he does. He's doing a lot of live fire things right now, but he can do anything. He's done stuff for Zavalis. He's done stuff for Smokeaholics. He's done stuff for Panther City. If you give him a call or DM, you'll see after that relationship, because there's a lot of options out there for cookers and smokers and people that are doing this. But once you contact him, you'll see that he really wants to make something funky for you and something interesting for you and something useful for you. He'll go above and beyond. His lead time's around 12 months right now, but it depends on what you order. And ask for a quote. You'll be surprised. I asked for a quote, I got one, and he's making me a pit. So it's pretty amazing. He's such a cool guy. He's been in the business forever. He knows what he's doing. I just think you'll be making a great decision if you go to him. And Treaty Oak Distilling out of Dripping Springs, Texas. They're the adult beverage partner for the show. They were founded in 2006. Daniel Barnes founded them. They're named after a 500-year-old tree in Austin, Texas. They moved to Dripping Springs in 2016, 4 years ago. They're open to the public, have a live fire restaurant, Alice's. They do live music, cocktail lab. I'm a bourbon fan. I'm a whiskey fan. They have three great ones. They have Ghost Hill Texas Bourbon. They have Red Handed Bourbon. And they have Red Handed Rye. All fantastic. All different in their own ways. But you can tell that heart and soul went into it. They're into balance with heritage. Such a great company. Such cool people. They really are innovators. You can check out all things Treaty Oak Distilling at treatyoak.com or at Treaty Oak on all the social media. Ask for them at your local liquor store or bar. If they don't have it, I'm sure they'll want to order it. And remember to drink responsibly. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on any of them. I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. If you're just checking this out on the podcast, go to youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints to see the YouTube version of this, as well as tons of other YouTube content, all meat related, all within this barbecue and meat world. I can be found on all social media at kevinsbbqjoints. By the end, it's about you. Hopefully you're learning something or getting something out of this. I hope so. I learn from each of these. I do appreciate all the DMs, all the messages. Let me know what you think, or if there's someone else you want to hear on this or see on this or whatever, just to reach out. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy this.
Right now, I've got a couple of pits that my father-in-law actually built for me.
Oh, really?
Good pits. They cook good, but you know, he's not necessarily a pit builder. And they're not the most efficient things in the world, which is just creates a little bit more work for me. Uh-huh. I can crank out the product in them, but it requires a lot more effort.
Do you think that's a good thing for people to sometimes learn on something that's more difficult or more challenging? Because when they do get a pit that's easier, life is a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, it's a test of skill for sure. And I mean, the first pit that I ever cooked on, I was 16 years old, I guess, or no. Yeah, I was 16. My first job was this little rib joint. They had a JR there. And a lot of people, if you're learning on those, and you know, you're just kind of, you know, you're setting the dial and, oh, hey, go back and check it in 5 hours and pull the ribs. And they don't. Luckily for me, one of the guys who taught me, still up, I mean, this was back in 87, still very, very close friend. And he kind of taught me more. So like everyone else there was talking about, you know, just the time, you know, pull them at such and such time and they're going to be done, wrap them in the, you know, halfway through, blah, blah, blah. But he's the one that taught me more to cook to feel.
That's important. That's so important.
So even though I learned on a JR, I was still cooking to feel.
And you're thinking more about it. Like it's not just like you said, like putting a burger in a package and taking it away. It's
right.
You're actually, but then there's people that just have a job and then they move on to another job. It's not something like it. You have to get the bug. You have to. So did you grow up in North Texas?
Yeah, born and raised in Dallas. Okay. I'm jetted off to Colorado for about a year, but came back and yeah, I've been here my whole life.
Did you go to college in Colorado, or did you?
I was at the University of Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, here in Irving, University of Dallas in Irving.
So you said that you were 16 when you worked at, what was the rib place you worked at?
It was called Ribby's, and I doubt anyone remembers of this place. I think they were based out of Chicago, actually. There was only two of them in Dallas, and they weren't around for very long. I was only there a year. Yeah, I remember it was, they wouldn't pay me more than $5.25 an hour unless I was a shift leader. You had to be 18 to be a shift leader. Yet they were flying, they flew a general manager in from Chicago for me to train at 16, but wouldn't pay me more than $5.25 an hour. So I went ahead and said, you know what, let me go ahead and take my week's paid vacation.
Yeah.
And then I was out.
Did you move on to another restaurant after that, or did you?
From Ruby's, I ended up at Dickie's.
Okay.
And back, you know, one of their original, I guess not the original locations, but one of the originals, one of their, I guess their catering hubs, mm-hmm. where a guy named Lee Darum, a friend of my dad's, ran that place, and a real good guy, and still to date, I can think of probably two people in the barbecue business that I've met in my life that are the two biggest characters, and that'd probably be Lee Darum and Bewley.
Really?
Those are the... Yeah, they're a couple of characters, very, very old school, and yeah, they were fun to I would say talk to, but they were fun to listen to. You didn't do much talking around those two.
But I think that the barbecue world lends itself to characters. There are
Absolutely.
A lot of different people that, and I think it gives people a chance to be their own person if they really want to.
Yeah, that's true, and it kind of brought me out of my shell, really, because I was always kind of shy and reserved, and the same guy that kind of trained me at Ribby's that I'm, again, friends with today, was me, him, his name is Don Glasgow.
Okay.
Me, Don, and my dad opened up my dad's restaurant in 89, but I learned a lot from Don, mostly just talking trash. He would talk more shit than anyone that I know. He'd be behind the block and always a smile on his face and just having so much fun and just joking and I learned a lot from him and it, from that standpoint too. Really kind of brought me out of my shell and that's always, it kind of became my favorite thing in barbecue is just interacting with the people. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone that comes up through the line, one, you're grateful for them to be there, but it's fun just to kind of play and talk a little trash and have fun. Yeah.
Well, and if it takes down people's guard, sometimes people aren't ready for it. And it, in the end, in essence, that's what we are. We want to be able to joke with each other and play with each other because you want to have a good life and you want to enjoy yourself.
Eat barbecue and have a good time and... Yeah.
Dickie's, was that Dickie's in any way, shape or form what spread across the country or did it change?
Yeah.
When it
I mean, spread? it was before that big spread. I mean, I think that they were quite a bit different back then than they are now. But yeah, it's the same one.
Amazing. It's a pretty amazing that happened. And it also is interesting, too, because a lot of people, that's their first taste of Texas barbecue if they're outside of Texas and then they come and it's different. It's a chain. It's a different
right.
style of barbecue.
Yeah.
Are they using Oilers too?
Oh my God.
Or like Southern Prize or
I
wonder Southern.
When I was there, I wasn't there for very long and I was just working the blocks. I never even cooked over there. I didn't even get over there into the pits.
Oh wow.
I know that there, you know, some of the catering rigs were offsets.
Yeah.
But back in the back in that particular location, honestly, I don't even remember. That's forever ago.
Yeah,
too.
You were a kid too. You were probably thinking about that. You said your dad opened a restaurant. What type of restaurant?
It was a barbecue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were in East Dallas from 89 to 99, Arnold's Texas Barbecue, and he started the late 70s. He was a competition cook and caterer. And he got into the competitions mainly to get his credentials and get out there to start a catering and production business. Mm-hmm. So he did that for a little while. I mean, he would roll up full on Western town, everybody all decked out in 1880s gunfighter attire. And people would look at this guy, man, this guy's all show. And then he'd just piss everyone off because he'd win every meat category. So he got all the first place in shows and won all his awards. And he did Chili. He was in Terlingua too. And
oh, that's just so cool.
Did that to start a catering and production company. That was kind of his plan going in. So I grew up with that, not just the catering, but production catering. So, you know, stuff like this behind me. I mean, and again, we would, a lot of times before we would serve, we were decked out in, again, 1880s gunfighter attire, and we'd do gunfights. After the gunfight, you know, we'd fire, the dinner bell was always like a shotgun blast or whatever. We would serve like gunfighters.
So then production, would you do weddings and things like that?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times they were shotgun weddings, too. I remember several of those where, you know, we'd go in there and get the guy and we'd walk him up there. Like, yeah, it was... we did all kinds of crazy stuff with him. He, the production catering is a totally different animal, and it's something that I've never seen anyone else do it like my dad. You know, I can only emulate. He's the king at that one.
Are people still doing it like that?
Yeah, we still do some. Not quite to that level. I haven't done quite to that level in a while, as far as the gunfights and everything involved. But yeah, I mean, we'll bring out mechanical bulls and armadillo races and full-on Western setups. And yeah, we can take it to whatever level people want to take it to. But granted, there's a cost for it.
Yeah, no. But that's interesting too, because people listening to this might be something they need or something they require or want for a business or for a wedding or for a special event. So I didn't know that we'd be even talking about that. So that's great to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of corporate stuff, out-of-town companies coming in, mm-hmm. they're wanting Texas. And yeah, we're gonna give them Texas overload, yeah. Sure, on just with all of that stuff.
Do you have pictures of that stuff?
Yeah, there's a few of them on my website, my dad's website. He's got it all on his.
Can I put some of those in the YouTube video of this? I'd love for people absolutely. To see. I think it would be fun for people to see.
I can send you some stuff.
Cool.
And my logo kind of generated through that too. I mean, you'll see something on Instagram where I've got a picture of me all decked out, wearing kind of what my dad would usually wear, just with the skeleton face on there instead of this ugly mug here.
No, that's cool. Have you always had the beard?
I've always had some kind of hair on my face, but not quite this scraggly. The wife keeps wanting me to trim it off, but you know, we'll maybe go an inch or two shorter and
I think it's impressive. It's very
impressive. We don't want to get rid of all of it.
No, you don't want to.
Yeah, the nest that's underneath it.
And still too, you also have like, it's not like you have a touch of gray, but like mine now, when I grow it, it's pretty gray. And I'm like, ah, damn, I didn't think for the longest time, it never, there's never white or gray in it. But
that's the kid's fault.
definitely. Well, so then from there, when did you always want to then venture out on your own? Is that something, or like at the end of the...
It kind of happened.
How did this happen?
Accident, yeah. Honestly. So I helped him run that restaurant from 89 to 99. In 99, I left. And that's when I graduated college and I started teaching. I always had a foot still in it. You know, he'd have a catering job or something come up and I would always, you know, help or when I wanted to or when I was able to or when he really needed me. So that's the way I did it for up until about a year, a little less than a year and a half ago.
What were you teaching?
So I taught 6 years of elementary school art in Arlington.
Okay.
Then I moved to Denton. Then I helped him open another business for about a year. That's kind of a long story. We really got screwed on that deal. Got in just some crooked people kind of did him really wrong. But anyway, rebounded from that. Started teaching high school after that. So I taught for 14, 15 years. But again, always would still cater or do some stuff on the side or, you know, here and there. My last teaching gig, I ended up losing money going to work because I had a kid in daycare who was always sick and had to take off so much. I started paying for him to be in daycare and being docked $500 a day. So I was losing money going to work. So at that point, I ended up being stay-home dad for a couple of years.
Oh, my gosh.
I was always cooking. I'd get out there and I'd cook for the whole week. I'd just fire up the pit and I'd have food for the whole week. So It was an interesting couple of years of doing that. Rewarding, I wouldn't trade it for anything, but it was good. My wife left a corporate job, wanted to start her own business. She's a dentist.
Okay.
So I was going to go back to teaching, but she wanted me to come and help her on the business aspect of it.
Like manage the business, kind of?
Yeah, and as I'm up late at night stressing out about money and bills and seeing all this money out and loans, and man, what the hell can I do to supplement this? And oh, shit, let me create an Instagram page and I'll start doing barbecue again. And it kind of took off a little quicker than I anticipated. So.
And was Vaqueros, was that the name that you came up with at the beginning?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's Cowboy, right?
Cowboy.
Yeah. Because there's people that, you know, my Spanish isn't great all the time.
Yeah, it still surprises me. A lot of people don't know what Vaqueros. My neighbor just asked me that the other day. So Vaqueros, what does that mean again?
But it's also funny too, because I think I feel like I took Spanish living in California. I took Spanish maybe 5-6 years, different times. But I feel like my Spanish got better working in restaurants because spoke to the chefs and cooks.
Yeah, I taught high school Spanish for 5 years, so I know very well how little people actually, what little effort people put into it and actually use it.
Or retain
it. You
got
to get out the real world to use it to really get it.
Uh-huh. And I think, and it's funny too, because I learned Japanese in college, and when I was in, I went to Japan for a year, and when someone would speak to me, I translated to Spanish and then to Japanese. It was the freaking weirdest thing.
Yeah, that is kind of odd.
That is, yeah, maybe it's just me. Maybe I hit my head too many times as a kid. But so then you start doing little catering jobs, or how did you get that momentum? Because someone that's listening is here. How did you start up is it from your old clientele maybe, or?
To an extent, you know, because again, whenever my dad would get jobs to come up, because he still sells the catering and does, but he's focused more on the production. But when catering comes up, he calls me or Don, who I was telling you about earlier.
Yeah.
And so we would always take care of that. But the main thing is, there's a little gas station right up the street from me, and the owner was talking to me about coming up and selling barbecue out there, and I never wanted to do it. I never did any of that stuff. I mean, I can think of doing one concession with my dad the whole time he was doing it, and it's never been our thing. But I let him talk me into it. What the hell? I'll go out there and do it. And I sold out in 2 hours. So, okay, well, it wasn't too bad. I'll do it again. And I doubled the food and sold out in 2 hours again. And it ended up being pretty good and kind of developed a little bit of following there. And then that supplemented with the people that my dad would bring in and he was selling jobs to. It just kind of gained momentum, and then some of the brewery people kind of came around and wanted me to come over there.
And that's how it kind of grew.
Yeah.
Now your dad built those pits. Were they 250s?
Or? My father-in-law.
Oh, your father-in-law. Okay.
He's a dentist, and he was telling, because he wanted to build himself a pit.
Of course.
So he was asking me and my dad what to do, and I remember talking to him about it. He's like, if you're a dentist, you can build anything. You're used to working with little tiny tools and little tiny spaces. You get big tools and big spaces. You can make whatever you want. And he makes he's pretty amazing. I mean, he can make it. He has no knowledge of something, but then become a damn near an expert in it and make whatever he wants to.
I love people like that. That's what size pits are they?
Oh God, they're kind of weird sizes. it's the mobile pits roughly 250. The other one maxed out. Let's see, I cook my briskets are average about 14-pound weight, so. One pit will hold maybe 9 to 10, and the other maybe about 12.
And you're selling out, right?
Yeah, I'm not cooking that much for the breweries, though. I mean, okay. they aren't requiring quite that much. But yeah, I mean, I've kind of gauged them, knowing what the crowd's going to do. So.
Are you serving food once a week or once every other week?
No, it's at least once a week, a couple times a week, sometimes 3 times a week.
For the public, people can try your food at least once a week.
Over January and February, between Hop and Sting Brewery and Four Corners Brewery.
And what time do you guys start?
See, all these are Saturday and Sunday dates, so noon.
Noon?
High noon.
And so if people come, if someone came at 3 o'clock, can they still get food?
Better to get there early. Some days, yes. Some days, no. Generally, it starts to taper down at 3. By 4:30, we're done.
And then what's on your menu?
It varies, and it depends if I'm doing back-to-back, so I'm not trying to kill myself because I don't have anyone out there helping me at the pit.
So it's just you?
Yeah, just me. So for this Saturday, it's going to be – actually, I've got something a little special I'm going to bring out. I've only brought it out one other time, but it's a pork belly rib. So these are a big monster rack. The rack of ribs is about an 18-pound rack of ribs.
Huh.
Each pork rib weighs about a pound. And so it's the rib with the belly attached, and those ribs are, I mean, they're huge.
I don't think I've had it that way.
I hadn't seen it. I think I've heard, yeah, I hadn't seen it. I hadn't had any. I'm sure there's some people out there that
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
They're pretty damn good.
So you're serving those this weekend?
Yeah, those are going to be on there in very limited supply. Obviously, brisket, sausage, and I don't think I'm gonna do a like a smoked carnitas. Let's see, what else am I going to do? I don't know. Kind of quite hadn't figured it out yet. I'll decide on all that tomorrow.
Are you making your own sausage right now, or are you getting sausage?
No. So the story behind the sausage is this. I remember back when we were opening a restaurant, we were trying to find a good sausage. And there's this little place. I mean, this is leading into, I guess, a kind of a little bit of a ramble here. But
that's okay. Rambles are good.
Over by Fair Park. It was called Meshack's. And there's still a Meshack's in the Dallas area. Mm-hmm. And it's the same family from what I hear, but it's in a completely different area. And this little place, I mean, it was a little tiny, tiny, tiny shack. I mean, I don't know. It was maybe about as big as this dining room, which is, I don't know, 12 by 15 or something. It was tiny. All the walls stained brown. You'd go in there, and I remember a couple of crackheads came in to buy loose cigarettes. They sold cigarettes by the cigarette, too. But this place had the best damn sausage. So we were trying to find out where they got it, and then they made it. So we couldn't really get their sausage. But to date, that's the best sausage I've ever had. And the sad thing is we went – it was my dad went over to the Meshack's, the new one. They don't make the sausage anymore. I guess the recipe died with the grandfather's sausage. Huh. Yeah, which is a shame.
That's a huge shame.
Yeah, so we couldn't get that, so we started getting from Southside Market in Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's some of the best damn sausage mm-hmm. around. It's hard to beat that stuff. Have you had it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. And yeah. I think a restaurant out here had that for a little while, for about 6 months, and it was so good.
Yeah. It's great stuff. And they've been making that since 1882. But back in the day, from when we were there from 89 to 99, they used to ship it to us on a Greyhound bus. So I'd pick
that sausage. I remember them talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd pick that up at the Greyhound station every, you know, once a week or every other week or whatever it was. But yeah,
that's free. The early days, yeah.
They don't do that anymore, unfortunately. I got to drive all the way 3.5 hours to get it, but that's still what I use. When I get a little bit more space and time, I guess I do plan to make some of my own, but I still always want to serve that Southside sausage too.
Which ones of theirs do you use?
Oh, the original.
The original ones.
Yeah, the original beef, the raw, buy it in a rope.
Oh, you buy it in a rope. Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, that's really cool. See, and you don't have to. That's why there's places out here that maybe have like hot links or things that I'm thinking, you know, you really could step it up just a little bit more and have some like Southside. Or I know some people back in the day, too, were using Kreitz for a while. But that's, yeah. I think you have to buy in such large quantities that it was difficult. Like people don't have the storage.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But I will make some of my own, but again, it'll just be some extras, you know, whether it's a version, not necessarily jalapeno cheddar, but, you know, I don't want to throw out exactly what I'm planning on doing until I throw it out there, but, you know, some different flavored sausages, I guess.
And what sides do you do?
I do a bunch of different ones. Typically, the Texas trail beans, that's something we've always done. That's my dad's pinto bean that he's cooked forever, so that's always something I like to do. I do a jalapeno mac and cheese. I don't do it all the time. Do a apple gorgonzola coleslaw. I'm not a fan of mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like soggy coleslaw, but I like something like, I like coleslaw with barbecue. I think it pairs really well, but this one's a little different. It's kind of, I kind of got it from a salad that I really like, mm-hmm. but it's got a lot more body and crunch because it is a, you know, with the cabbage, but it's,
that's a nice balance. I like that.
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, there's gorgonzola cheese, walnuts, cranberries, and then there's an apple gorgonzola or a raspberry vinaigrette with Granny Smith apples that's served on the side.
Oh, interesting.
And I've had people come back through, can I have some more of that apple stuff? And they're just eating the dressing by itself. And that's for the coleslaw. Oh, it's okay. I want some anyway. And so that, let's see, what else do we do? I'll do potato salad every now and then, mainly for catering. I do the hickory smoked corn, but I started doing it a little bit different. Back in, early 90s, I guess, I remember D Magazine putting together their best plate of Dallas, and the corn that we would do at my dad's place was one of the side dishes on that best plate. Oh, really? So I would do it just like he did, but then I started just taking it off the shuck and then mixing it up and serving it more elote style, still with that same flavor of his, but with a few added flavors.
Do you ever do chili?
You know, I need to, because my dad's chili still, that's the best damn chili that I've had. And, you know, I've eaten a lot of chili, and I know I'm a little bit biased, but his kind of sets a standard. So we were talking about that over at Christmas, and we were doing tamales. Let's make some chili too. And it's just always one of those things. It's just so damn time consuming.
Yeah, no, it does take a lot of time. You have to put the effort in. Yeah.
I was planning on doing it this season. I still may con him into getting over here in the kitchen and doing up a batch, but I can't make it like him. We really need to sit down together and start going through it. But I want to start doing chili. It's just, again, because of the roots and tradition.
Yeah, I think that would be important. It would be something that would identify your past and your past, yep, with your dad. And a lot of places don't do chili. I've never really thought here and there, but really good chili, there's nothing. But, you know, people would come probably for the chili too.
His is a damn good chili. And even on the sign at the original restaurant, you know, it's the Arnold's Texas Barbecue and Chili Depot.
Well, maybe someday, a few years from now, you could have your own Chili Depot on the side, like it's a side business. And then that's...
Yeah, well, we'll just roll out the chili in the regular place. Yeah, we'll see. We'll be doing it. We'll be doing it soon.
I'll help you with that side business. I would love it. Right. There used to be a place called Chili My Soul that was out here in Los Angeles. And the fellow was about 300-400 pounds. He was a big guy, and he died of a heart attack. And you kind of knew that. But he made like 15 different types of chili, and people would buy him in the pints and quarts. And it was so good. So good.
That sounds like a giant pain in the ass. 15 different kinds of chili. Good Lord.
I think he'd make eight specific ones, and then he'd have like rotate a couple more in. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the business model was the smartest.
Wow.
It was passionate. I think something. Do you do desserts too?
No. I've got some that I have someone else. Someone who helps me has done a few that I may roll out. Yeah, we'll get there. But right now, there's really no need.
You're mostly popping up at breweries, right?
Yeah, so I'm not. I've got so many different things that I'm kind of doing already. It's hard to do them all at these breweries. So I'm just trying to scale it back to specific things, and I mix it up.
Do most of these places, breweries, you could eat? Can you bring the food inside and eat inside?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah. And these two that I'm doing most of the stuff at, I mean, they're really, really good people. You know, the guys at Hop and Sting, and then the guys over at Four Corners, everybody's really, really cool over there. And yeah, enjoy working with them.
Yeah, no, I've actually looked at their websites, because when I'm working on that list and putting like for your stuff, because you're popping up all the time at those places. So they look like, and it looks like they have some great beers too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they'll get you in trouble, because, you know, we're up all damn night cooking. We roll up, hey, can I get you any beers? You want a beer? Shit, I want one, but I don't need to really fall asleep here right now. So I'll always have one or two. But the best part is when we're all done, we can just sit. Everything's broken down, sit and chill, have a couple of beers, and then roll out.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So then, what should people know about 2020 other than that? You know, you're continually growing and working, but so they know they could see you at least once a week at a brewery. And then if they want to do catering, if like you do catering like crazy, right?
Yeah, I've got quite a few on the books between now and March. I think that's as far booked out as I am right now is March, I think. Yeah, as far as I know, mm-hmm. As far as I'm thinking anyway.
And then potentially you just want to continue to grow and evolve and continue your business.
Yeah, and find a little bit of help.
Are you doing everything yourself?
I've got someone helping me with the sides and a lot of the cleanup, and I've got a couple of guys that will help me with the setups and service. But as far as all the meats and all of that, it's all me.
And from what I've seen, the food looks fantastic, and I've heard from AJ and a bunch of other people that they should that I should try your food. So I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for 2020. It should be a very interesting year for you.
Yeah, 2019 was pretty interesting. It's a little more so than 18. So we'll see what 20 brings. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. One other little nugget in here. So I mentioned those ribs.
Yeah,
my dad's old restaurant space. In East Dallas, over off of Haskell, is now occupied by an absolute rock star of a chef, Misty Norris. She's with Petra and the Beast.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of her yet, but you, most people have. I mean, she's been written up in Esquire and Bon Appetit and all these damn national publications as one of the top chefs in the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I'm going to meet up with her on Saturday to butcher this hog and get my cut
Oh, really?
Of those pork ribs.
No, is she doing full animals? Is that what she's doing?
She's doing some insane stuff. I mean, she's so damn creative. I can't even wrap my head around what she's doing. Just really, really, really creative, kind of elevated type of stuff. But a lot of meats, a lot of fermentation, and just some really unique stuff. And it's cool to see her over there in that building.
Is it a restaurant or a catering space?
Oh yeah, it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting over there and getting schooled a little bit on the butchery that she does, because I hear she's pretty amazing at it.
Have you done that before?
No. I mean, I've been cutting meats, but they're all cooked meats. I don't do a lot of the butchery, especially the hogs, but you know, I'm looking forward to getting over there with her for sure.
Oh, that's great knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And the place it's changed so much over there. I mean, back when we were there, we were kind of sandwiched in between the crack house and the whorehouse. And that element isn't over there too much anymore.
That's so funny how things have changed so much.
Yeah, that neighborhood's changed a lot. It's good, but yeah, you should look her up and see what she's doing over there. And it's so cool just to see in that original space of ours, her doing what she's doing over there.
That's crazy. How did you connect
still
with her?
Being able to get over there and do some stuff, which is even cooler.
Yeah, that's really cool. How did you reconnect with her connect with her?
Well, I'd heard of her, so I want to go check this place out, and I looked it up online. It's like, holy shit, 601 North Haskell, I know that spot. So I just reached out to her and then kind of, you know, been talking a little bit ever since.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. Well, thank you so much. Have a great and happy new year. And let's talk soon, and I'll shoot you a message when I'm coming in town.
Yeah, man. I look forward to it. And I'll send you some of those pictures of this production catering from back in the day.
Please do. That would be so cool. That'd be great.
Text me your email, and I'll just send them to your email.
Okay, cool. I'll do it right now.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Kevin. Have a good one, man.
Thank you.